Hello and welcome aboard this week's edition of your maritime programme, Seascapes. We'll have the latest on the August edition of Irish Angler. We preview the arrival of the leading competitors in the IFTS Disabled Sailing World Championships in Kinsale. We'll be talking to IFTS President John Toomey and Organising Authority Chairperson John Stallard. The BMW J24 World Championships also begin this weekend in Howth Yacht Club on the East Coast. Charles O'Rourke tells us about a similar close encounter to that experienced by Larry Butler from Dundalk. First on Seascapes this week, to a newly designed free smartphone app to assist in reducing loss of life on our waters. The app was developed by Decare Systems and the Irish Coast Guard. It's called the ISA SafeTrax and was launched this week in the Port of Cork boardroom on Custom House Quay by the Minister for the Marine, Simon Coveney TD.
I've met the company involved actually a number of times in terms of looking at the technology. This is a technology that's working very well in Australia, has been for some time. In essence, it's about recognising the fact that people use their mobile phones for everything now, whether it's downloading music, whether it's navigating at sea, whether it's navigating on land, quite frankly. And the idea that you can download an app that can allow you to, before you go to sea, to put in the details of that journey, where you're going, the name of your boat, a photograph of your boat, the number of people on board, when you anticipate returning again, and the fact that the Coast Guard can actually follow your journey then by logging into monitoring your phone allows people going to sea to be much safer, quite frankly. Now, you know, people will say, well, look, what if the mobile phone falls into the water? If it does, well, then the tracking stops at that stage, but the server that is providing the service for your phone continues to provide a link with the Coast Guard. So this idea, because mobile phones aren't waterproof, therefore you can't use them for this device, to be honest, is not the case. And in fact, if a mobile phone loses coverage or falls into the sea, that in itself will trigger a notice with the Coast Guard, which is very useful. This is a safety aid for people going to sea. It doesn't solve all problems. It doesn't sell itself as solving all problems, but it is the vast majority of people that go on the water in Ireland, particularly for leisure purposes, are going within harbours or within bays, and they do have mobile coverage, which is why they take their mobile phones with them. You know, if you talk to most people who go canoeing, they will take a mobile phone on their backpack, in a waterproof case. Likewise, you know, people going windsurfing, people kitesurfing, people fishing, people angling, people sailing. Most people will carry a mobile phone with them for nearly everything they do all day. And so what this does is it gives the Coast Guard a really useful tool to actually monitor you while you're on the water, so that if something does go wrong, that actually they are likely to get notification an awful lot more quickly than they otherwise would. And so this added to all of the other things we're doing on safety around life jackets, around a new initiative launched a couple of months ago for the fishing industry particularly, around a new stakeholders group that are putting together proposals around new regulations and new legislation around safety at sea, which I'll have before the end of the year. All adds up to a change in attitude, I think, of policymakers and government towards safety at sea. We need to prioritise it. We are, at the moment, believe it or not, there's about 140 people drowning each year in Ireland. Many of them fishermen, but also many of them, people who are on the water for leisure reasons, people swimming in lakes and rivers. And we have to get that figure down. It is just causing heartache and tragedy for far too many families. This is an example of the Irish Sailing Association taking an initiative with SafeTrax, who are a proven company, and Decare Systems Ireland, to actually use the technology that is there on a person's mobile phone, which most people will have with them at all times, to make them safer at sea, and that is a good thing.
You can read more about that app on the Irish Sailing Association website, www.sailing.ie/SafeTrax, and on the Seascapes webpage. This weekend, a defending world champion from Brazil, a multiple European Championship winner, a former world champion and a past North American champion are among the quality field lined up to contest the BMW J24 World Championships at Howth Yacht Club. It has attracted 42 entries from 10 countries. The sailing takes place all week until next Friday. We wish them well. Quite a spectacle. You may remember a fortnight ago we heard a tale of a monster from the deep and a close encounter that Larry Butler from Dundalk experienced in the Irish Sea, sailing back from the Isle of Man. Seascapes listener Charles O'Rourke from Killabby wrote, "Marcus, listening to Larry Butler on your last show and to another recent account of the loss of a trawler when a submarine got entangled in its nets reminded me of an incident that happened in the 1980s. I was returning to the National Yacht Club in Dunleary from Wales with my family in our 26-foot westerly Centaur sloop. We had left Pwllheli at night and it was now early dawn on a beautiful summer's morning. I was on the helm and my family were below sleeping. It was an idyllic scene. The sun was rising behind me, tracing a golden track in my wake. Visibility and sea state were perfect for sailing. It was one of those occasions when you feel blessed to be at sea. I was suddenly shaken out of my reverie by the loud sound of cascading water, like a waterfall astern. Looking around, I saw the sinister-looking, huge black shape of a submarine surfacing not more than 100 metres in my wake. I have no idea of its identity. There was no ensign visible. Thankfully, we suffered no ill effects from the incident, but I did wonder, like Larry Butler, whether these vessels have any means of detecting the location of surface craft, particularly sailing craft, before selecting where to surface. Perhaps some of your listeners might have this knowledge. Yours, Charles O'Rourke, Killabby.
Weren't we the rare old stock? Spent the evening getting locked in the Essa Hearts, where the high stools were engaging. Over the footbridge down to the dock, and the boat she sailed at 5 o'clock. Hurry, lads, says Whacker, before we're there we'll all be back. Carry him if you can. Oh, the crack was 90 in the Isle of Man. Before we reached the Alexander Base, the ding-dong we did surely raise. In the bar of the ship had great sport, as the boat she sailed out from the port. Landed up in the Douglas Head, inquired for a vacant bed. In the dining room got shown by a decent woman up the road. Let's say it if you can. Oh, the crack was 90 in the Isle of Man. Next morning went for a ramble round and saw the sights of Douglas Town. Then we went for a mighty session in the pub that they called Dick Darby's. All got drunk by 3:30, just sober up and swimming in the sea. Back to the digs with the spruce up and royal waiting for the Rosie. We all drew up our plan. Oh, the crack was 90 in the Isle of Man. Night we went to the Texas bar and came back down the horse and car. Met Big Jim and we all went in to drink some wine in the Yates's. The Liverpool girls, it was said, were all to be met in the Douglas Head. McShane was there in a tie and shirt. The Florin girls, he was trying to flirt. Same here, girls, I'm your man. Oh, the crack was 90 in the Isle of Man. Whacker fancied his good looks, and an Isle of Man woman he was struck. The Liverpool lad was by her side, and he drove the jar into her. Whacker thought he'd take a chance, so he asked the queer one out to dance. Around the floor they scattered out, the Whacker to us no bother. Everything was going to plan. Oh, the crack was 90 in the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man woman fancied a whack. Your man put there till his mates get back. And whack, they all whacked into whack. Whack was landed on his back. The boldness force arrived as well. Banded a couple of them as well. And ended up in the Douglas jail. Until the Dublin boat had sailed, deported every man. Oh, the crack was 90 in the Isle of Man.
The sound of Christy Moore and the crack was 90 in the Isle of Man. Congratulations to Irish open water swimmer who a few weeks ago he swam around Jersey Island. Fermoy's Owen O'Keefe completed his Fermoy to Yall swim last Friday, and you can see a video of his remarkable achievement on YouTube. Ireland has won a silver and bronze medals in the European Lifesaving Championships in the towns of Noordwijk and Den Haag in Holland. The team bronze was won in the simulated emergency rescue competition by Triana McMenamin from Letterkenny, County Donegal, Cormac O'Sullivan, Bernard Cahill, Dylan Barrett, who all hail from Ennis in County Clare. Bernard Cahill and Dylan Barrett also won an individual silver and bronze respectively in the Run Swim Run competition, which simulates a rescue from the water. Children around Ireland as young as 8 can get involved in a series of progressive life-saving classes taught by Irish Water Safety through the www.iws.ie website and hopefully go on to represent their country in these competitions. Next here on Seascapes to the International Federation for Disabled Sailing, as the town of Kinsale hosts the IFDS Disabled Sailing World Championships. The president of IFDS is John Toomey, the veteran Paralympic sailor.
Almost all the countries are in Kinsale at the moment. The buzz is happening around the town. The local businesses are very appreciative of the business we brought in. So it's all go. And hopefully, if the Spanish arrive late on Saturday night, we'll have every country here and ready for the practice race on Sunday. The Paralympics in London were a great wake-up call for the public as to what Paralympic sport is all about. It's great to see that in a post-Paralympic year that you have 19 countries turning up in Kinsale. You have 75 boats approximately at this stage. So, and it's a great tribute to Ireland and Kinsale that the support that's there, and a lot of people who could have made the excuse to not travel didn't and turned up and are supporting Kinsale Yacht Club and supporting the Irish economy as well, which is great. I'm going to sound a bit like Lord Kono when I speak of the legacy, but the legacy is already in Kinsale. The footpaths are all dipped. We've got the knobbly bits for the blind on every footpath. So, you know, the whole access thing, you know, around the town is fabulous from both Cork County Council and Kinsale Town Council. They've put in a huge effort. And even before any sailors turn up in wheelchairs or with disabilities, the public of Kinsale is actually appreciating what's happening, because it not only benefits those in wheelchairs, but the lady with the pram, the older person in a walking frame or in a walking stick, the dips in the curbs, you know, they suit everybody. And the town is really appreciative of what the council has done, both with its sponsorship and the effort to put into the infrastructure. And that infrastructure is something that will last forever in Kinsale. If you go back to the Paralympics and you look at who the medalists were there, you had the Dutch, the Germans in the three-person boat. The British will be very strong in the Scud. The British again won the single-handed, and they'll have strong competition from Canada, from Holland, and from Australia. There's phenomenal personal life stories here. You just touched on the British military from Afghanistan having a veterans team here from the Afghan war and from the Iraq war. You've also got the New Zealand teams. You have two veteran America's Cuppers here. Between the two of them, they have 9 appearances in the America's Cup. They have 2 wins, and they have numerous other world titles. Dave Barnes has 3 470 world titles. He has 2 OK world titles. Rick Dodson has a list of achievements that just go on and on. So you've got a great flavour of different histories, different paths, but they're all getting to the one area, which is Kinsale, and they're going to have a fabulous week sailing in Kinsale.
Next to the chairperson of the organising authority, he's John Stallard. John, the excitement is really building at this stage.
Yes, Marcus, it really is. We've got 19 countries represented here at the event, which is one of the biggest ever in a post-Olympic year. We've got 117 competitors plus 57 coaches. So a lot of people around, about half the competitors are here present. And within the next couple of days, we'll have everybody here. The event itself, we're very excited about in the club. It's been a particular challenge for us because of the fact that we're working with people of different types of disabilities, ranging from blindness to physical. The people themselves, we have some of the top sailors in the world. We have all 9 Paralympic champions from London here. We also have the world champions from the 2.4 fleet. So we're delighted to see that we have such a high-class field. I suppose the other aspect of this is that we have how some of these sailors got themselves here. Because of the fact that there's people with disabilities, you will have people who had suffered accidents or indeed illnesses that were up to then championship sailors themselves and have progressed into the these fleets. We're looking forward to seeing these very high profile crews competing at the top level of their sport in the coming week. The Kiwi crew, two of the people on their sonar are America's Cup winners. The America's Cup had in 125 years had never been won by anybody other than Americans up to 1989. And in 1989 the New Zealanders won it. And again they won it the following 2 years when it was competed for again. The tactician on that boat and one of the helms are the people who are sailing that sonar. They're also world 470 champions and Olympic champions themselves in their own rights. The UK team, there are people who lost limbs in Afghanistan and other war zones. And it's fantastic to see how these guys have adapted to their disabilities. And again, it's a pleasure to see them sailing. From a volunteering perspective, this week in getting the boats ready and getting the dinghy parks ready and everything, we're working with about 20 people, and that will grow during the event next week to, we need 75 people a day, both on the water and ashore, to make this event happen. So it's a huge draw on resources within the club and also to our facilities. For instance, we've had to ask about 60 members to free up their berths and give their berths to us for this event. Also, our own normal club sailing activities have had to be suspended for 2 weeks while we cater for this event. Everybody is fully supportive of it and are delighted and thrilled that we can bring people from as far away as New Zealand and Russia and Malaysia to Kinsale. Spaniards are putting us under pressure. All the boats have to be measured by midnight on Saturday night, and the Spaniards come off the ferry at 6 o'clock. Hopefully they'll be in Kinsale by 8:30, and then we have a midnight crew here on Saturday night doing the measurement so that they'll be qualified to sail in the first race that we got on Sunday. So logistically it's been huge because for a number of reasons. People are travelling for long distances have had to either container their boats in or charter boats, but these boats are not available in Ireland, so we've had two Fine Fours, we've had 12 of them trailer down from Norway. We've had sonars coming in from the UK. Even support boats and ribs, there's two truckloads of them have come in from Southampton. So all that's all happened. It's all in place now. We're ready to launch these boats. Media interest is very significant. We have a number of TV companies at present doing documentaries about their people from their own nations. Again, press, photography. We have a full media crew ourselves assembled here with support from the ISA and their press office, and again locally we have our own people who are in ProVision and volunteers. We're delighted to have a full media crew here to support the event. An event this size is very expensive to run, and the financial income from it, the clubs just couldn't afford to run it. We've been very fortunate that Cork County Council have come on board through their tourism section to support the event as title sponsors. They've been tremendous to work with. They've really helped us. And their own engineers and staff around Kinsale have really come on board. And as anyone walking around Kinsale today will see all the paving and that has all been redone to help people with disabilities around the town. Secondary sponsors, again, have been good. We have the Gathering, True Fault Ireland, and Irish Sports Council are in supporting this event, along with Eli Lilly, locally. Local businesses in the town have been very good to us in that any services that we're buying are generally coming to us at cost or even below it, and we're indebted to the businesses in Kinsale, and that's indeed the local people who are coming in, rowing in behind us and helping us wherever we're asking for support. One of the biggest problems initially we thought we'd have would be around finding accommodation for people with disabilities. Particularly as the hotels have limited amount of availability. But again, Janice Toomey has helped hugely with this and coordinating it. And we've been able to find accommodation locally for almost everybody with some imagination.
It's a great honour for Kinsale to have a member of the club as president of the International Federation for Disabled Sailing, and a man who's really played a huge role in bringing the World Championships to the club here.
Yes, it's been an ambition of John's for a long time, and it's 4 years since the bid was originally made. So without John's support and encouraging the Federation to bring the event to Kinsale, we would never have gotten it. And in that light, Matthias Hellstrom is also a person that needs to be mentioned, because Matthias was who put the bid together, and they did a tremendous job in competing against cities in China, Australia and Canada for us to win this event. Our New Zealand forecaster a number of weeks ago forecast that we were going to get ideal conditions for the next 2 weeks. And looking at our own Met Service now, they're starting to tell us that we might get a northeasterly 10 to 12 knots. If we get that, we would be absolutely delighted. And again, we're in almost Mediterranean conditions here, and if we can maintain this, it'll be a fantastic event for competitors, volunteers and everybody associated with it. To all of us here in Kinsale, it's an absolute eye-opener, because you talk about disabled people, but these people, when you see them around the town, you realise that they're athletes. They're very fit people, they're well capable of doing anything any of us able-bodied people think we can do. And it's been already a huge education for us. And I think that as we get more of it out in the media, people will understand just what we mean, that, you know, these are athletes at the very top of their competitiveness. How we got our funding for this event through the Sports Council is through the ISA. The ISA put in a bid on our behalf early last year, and the Sports Council supported our request, and it's through the Sports Council and Gathering that we've actually got the second level of support, which is significant. Also through them, we're also getting some PR support here for the event, which we're grateful, because we don't have to pay for it. So it all helps in the running of the event to have professional crews on board. Marcus, this event is in itself is very significant in the fact that we're probably unlikely to see it again here in our lifetimes. There are only 3 World Championships held every 4 years. So that in itself gives us a tremendous honour, and it puts pressure on us to make it memorable, so that people coming here get a chance to experience Ireland as well as the wonderful sailing area that we have here in Kinsale. Because we have a full sailing social programme starting on Thursday night. Initially, where some of the hostelries in Kinsale are running events that will bring the sailors in and give them an opportunity to visit the town. And then later in the event, we have full social programme in the club. But most of the programme will actually be in the town itself, because we want to include the town in this event. It's not just a Kinsale Yacht Club event.
We'll be featuring the World Championships on next Friday night's edition of Seascapes, and you can read and see more on the dedicated website, www.ifdsworlds2013.com, or indeed, visit the town itself. Greg Renton is about to set sail from Phoenix to Napier, New Zealand, in his refurbished yacht, Silent Annie. He first set out from Ireland some years ago, but his crewmate suffered a heart attack off Vigo and was lifted on board a cargo ship. During the transfer, Greg's spreader caught in the ship's anchor. Not realising the extent of the damage, Greg sailed on. Next day, the mast collapsed, hitting Greg on his head and splitting it open. He fired off his EPIRB and was lifted off. The rescue crew scuttled the yacht. Greg spent 8 days in hospital in Spain, returning to Ireland to recuperate with his good friend Gerard O'Donnell in Spa in County Kerry. While there, they contacted the managing director of Pescanova through Joe Burke of Tralee. Maybe one of Pescanova's trawlers would come across the scuttled yacht. And so it turned out. The yacht was saved and towed to Portugal, put on a transporter and brought to Ger's boatshed in Kerry. Greg and his brother have spent the last few years completely repairing and refurbishing Silent Annie, and plan to set sail for New Zealand in the coming days. What a remarkable story. We wish them fair winds and fair sailing. And our thanks to Joe Burke and Des McWilliam. There's a major reunion of former Vorome dockyard workers planned for this weekend in Rushbrook in Cove and in the town itself, with guided walks, illustrated talks and a photographic exhibition. You can get more detail on www.visitcove.com. Next on Seascapes, to the latest edition of Irish Angler. In this month's issue, they focus on bass, our premier saltwater sports fish. Stephen Neely features on the cover, and his article covers catching bass in difficult conditions. David Norman looks at the joys of night fishing, while Jim Clohessy writes about an interesting project by the ESB and UCC in Cork Harbour, tagging bass to find out more about their habits and migration patterns. In other saltwater fishing, Terry Jackson is in search of smooth hounds, while Kit Dunn has advice for novice specimen hunters. The top mark this month is Sligo's Mullock Moor. In freshwater, Carl Dixon finds trout in some unusual places around Cork as he goes urban trouting. Jeff Cooper tackles bream. Jimmy Tyrrell shares a top salmon fly, and Peter Dunn has another dirty dozen. The Where to Fish spot features Delphi, a real jewel of Irish fishing. Stevie Munn talks about a friend's top fly patterns which have worked for him. Irish angler field tests a 10-foot, 5-weight rod from Hardy that is tough enough to tackle our big locks, and as usual, the What's New section features the latest gear for anglers of all disciplines. Next Friday night here on Seascapes, we'll be featuring the IFDS Disabled Sailing World Championships with many of the remarkable sailors and their stories. Marcella Connolly will be out on the water with some of the competitors, and we'll be hearing from US coach Betsy Allison, Team GB's Nicky Birrell, Stephen Thomas, John Roberts and Megan Pascoe, and Bradley Johnson from the USA team, Beachmaster Fergal O'Hanlon. All that and much more here on Seascapes. Until next Friday night, tight lines, fair sailing.